Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. We've been studying the book of Proverbs. We've been looking at it as God would have us to, and give to us. So we've been looking at it chapter by chapter, verse by verse. The book of Proverbs is a very important book and teaches us about how to live, how to have wisdom, looking at life from God's point of view, how to apply that. Much of the book of Proverbs is written for the young person, if you would. The young Christian, the young person who really needs to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. However, the book of Proverbs is good for everybody, no matter how old or young you may be, how long you've been saved or how short a time you've been saved. It's a very, very wonderful book. We found out last week that the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4, is broken down into four different sections, and we learned the first section, verses 1 through 5. So tonight, we're going to start, verses 1 through 4. So tonight, we're going to start with verse number 5 of Proverbs, chapter number 4. Let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we look at and read from Proverbs, chapter 4, verse number 5, through verse number 13. Verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine hand, to thine head, an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not thy steps shall not be straightened, and thou, when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction; let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. I want to talk to you tonight out of chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, the marriage or relationship between wisdom, understanding, and us. Wisdom and understanding is something that we ought to become one with. Marriage is when people become one. Out of Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 5, we're going to pray and then we'll get on to our message. Father, thank you so much for what you have for us. Please teach us in such a way that we'll be able to apply it to our life and grow, get closer to you, walk with you in a powerful way. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline thy words from thy mouth. Wisdom is extremely important. We've seen the words. We started with chapter number 1. We learned a bunch of words that are very important that are repeated over and over again. The first one is the word wisdom. Word wisdom means look at life or looking at life from God's point of view. Also to know oneself, one's God, so that we know how to treat and take care of one's neighbor. God wants us to know ourselves. God wants us to know what He thinks of ourselves. Not what we think of ourselves, but what He thinks of us. How He looks at us. Many Christians feel like they're unworthy to do anything, to pray, to be used by God. But may I say, that's not true. God loves you. God loves me. When He saved us because He loves us. And we don't have to worry about not being worthy to go to God in prayer or not being worthy, because now we have a new relationship with Him. We're no longer a human being in God. We're now Father and Son. And as He talks to us in the book of Proverbs, we see over and over again how He talks to the Father and to the Son. Look in chapter 4 and verse number 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father. So we see in verse number 1 that He's talking to us as a child, His own child. So we have a very different relationship with God than what people think. And so we often don't know that. Wisdom is to understand how God thinks and looks at things. He looks at us different now that we're His. We're His child. In verse 10 it says, "Hear, O my son." He's talking to us as a father to a son. The book of Proverbs, especially the first couple chapters, is just like a father sitting down with his son and saying, let me tell you some things. Let me teach you some things. You're really going to need to learn in order to get through life. And so it's really a father just counseling his son, encouraging his son, teaching his son, showing his son. That's what wisdom is. God speaking to us and us letting Him speak to us. Letting Him show us how He made things and how He intended for life to be. The world today has gotten so far away from the things of God that it's very difficult for us to take anything we've learned in the world and apply it to God. And so we must really change our thinking. We must change our view. We must change our thought. And so God says to us, get wisdom. That's His point of view. And the way He looks at us, the way He looks at others, so that we know how to treat other people. The world says if someone does you wrong, make sure you get them back before they get a chance to get you again. And make sure you get them back real bad so they don't even come after you again. But that's not God's point of view. God's point of view is love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. That's hard. It's easy to love someone who loves you. It's very difficult to love somebody who hates you, who doesn't have anything to do with you, who can't stand you, who constantly mocks you, drives you nuts, gets you down deep in that little spot in you that just digs and digs and digs at you. But God says we're to love them. That's a totally different perspective than the world's wisdom. The world's wisdom says eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you'll die. God's wisdom says tell the other people the gospel message, because when I take you to heaven, I want to be able to give you a crown for that. And then will they be able to take that crown and cast it at His feet? So He says, get wisdom. Then He said, get understanding. We learn the word understanding means this, to apply that view of God. To comprehend it. And to accept it. That's what the word understanding means. So apply that view. What view is that? The view of wisdom, God's point of view. Apply that view. To comprehend it, to understand it, to the place that we not only understand what's going on, but where we can tell others and where we accept it. Many people know things about God, but don't know the things about God down deep in their heart. We hear things, and we hear them for years and years and years and decades, till the end of our days, but many people still don't believe the things of God to the place where we accept it to be true. Many people don't even accept, even after salvation, don't accept the depth of the love of God. Well, we think we have to be sinless before God can do anything for us, but my children were never sinless, and I love them unconditionally. I love my grandchildren unconditionally, and they don't even know how to do anything for us. They just love us, and we just love them regardless of what goes on. And that's how God loves you and I, regardless of what we've done. And even that is difficult for us to accept, yet that's God's point of view. So He tells us to get wisdom and get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. So we don't want to change them. We don't want to go away from them. We want to get them. We want to hang on to them. We want to become one with them. We want to basically get married to them. Notice what it says. Use the same words that we would use in a marriage. Are you ready? Wisdom is, verse 6, I mean, forsake her not. Forsake what? That means, forsake means to turn your back and walk away. Forsake what? Wisdom and understanding. We need to apply that to our lives. And we don't want to forsake her. She shall preserve thee. What shall be? When we put wisdom and understanding into our life and become one with them. They'll preserve us. The word preserve means this, a hedge about. Or to guard us. Almost like a fence, if you will. It protects us. We have two dogs. We have a fence in our backyard. The purpose of the fence is not to protect others. The purpose of the fence is to protect our dogs. They'll run off. They'll go to places they shouldn't be. They'll get eaten by the dogs or killed by other people. Run over by a car. It's there to protect them. God says wisdom and understanding are there to protect us, to help us. What are they going to do? They're going to preserve us. They're going to keep us. They're going to keep us safe. Look at it says in verse number 6 again. Love her. That's what a husband is told to do to his wife. Love her. So we see the terms here that God uses in marriage for us to also have with wisdom and understanding. Because if we're going to become one with them, we need to love it. We need to love what wisdom and understanding are. Which is looking at life from God's perspective. Applying it to our life, looking at ourselves and others as God would have us to look at them. And she will keep thee. Keep, again, means protect or maintain, to watch over us. So God tells us the importance then of getting wisdom and understanding. We need to, verse number 8, exalt her. Exalt who? Wisdom and understanding. Exalt her, that means to increase the effect or intensity of, to exalt something. What will we do with this? Wisdom and understanding? Well, when we put them together and we exalt them and increase and magnify their intensity in our life, he says that he'll promote us. Look what it says again in verse number 8. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. The words promote mean to cause one to rise. To cause one to rise up. And so God will use us in a greater way. Now, this isn't talking about the world's idea of success. This is talking about God's idea of success. And in God's idea of success, as we learn how to apply His wisdom and we accept it as it is, comprehend it and accept it, that's what understanding is, that it'll promote us. It'll promote us for what? To do more for God with our life. I only have so many days, so many weeks, so many years, basically so many hours and so many minutes of life here on this earth. And when it's over, I can't relive it. Once the past is past, I can't go back and change the past. So God wants us to use every moment then for His honor and for His glory. Then He wants to promote us. That doesn't mean to make us higher. That means to make us more useful. And so He wants to use us to reach more people. To affect more people. A young man called me last week and asked me some questions. And he said, you know, God brought you here for a reason. And one of the reasons is I needed somebody like you to help me make some spiritual decisions. It surprises me what God does. It doesn't feel sometimes like there's much of a purpose here. But I know that there is. Because God's doing things that I don't understand. And He's doing it in His way and in His power. In ways that I never thought. In ways that nobody else would have thought. I don't know how to explain it. Don't have to explain it. Don't have to understand it. Just have to live it and allow Him to use us in a way that He chooses to use us. Notice it says she'll bring the honor. That word honor there. Wisdom and understanding will bring us honor. Means to bring us riches. That doesn't mean money. That means riches and glory. It means blessings from God. God wants to bless our life. Here's how we pray many times. Dear God, bless what I'm going to do. But that's not what God wants to do. He wants us to yield to Him, get life from His perspective and His view, start doing what He says in an acceptable way where it becomes a part of us, where it becomes we become one with it, and that will make us rich in His power and His glory. That's what God's after. Now, money's not a bad thing to have. In fact, it's very beneficial. Pays for the electric bill and the car payment and the gas and the food and electricity. Nice things to have paid for. But we don't want to live for money. Our purpose for living is to have His power flow through us in such a way that our life affects somebody else. If all we do in all our life is just affect the lives of those around us, wouldn't it be worth it? For the positive, for the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what wisdom and understanding give us. Verse 10, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of my life shall be many. So God wants us to not only be rich in those ways, but He wants us to be rich in this grace. Verse number 9, she shall give thine head an ornament of grace. So God wants to promote us and make us rich in grace, something we don't deserve. Grace and love cover a multitude of sins. Amen. It's covered all of mine. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. My grace is sufficient for thee, He said. When trials and tribulations come into life, and everybody goes through them. Doesn't matter what you do for a living and how long you've been saved or how short a time you've been saved. All of us go through ups and downs in life. It rains on the good and it rains on the bad. Sunshine comes to those good and comes to those bad. But God says, listen, I want to give you grace so that when those difficult times come, I'm there for you. And He says that's a blessing He wants to give us. It's an ornament for us to wear. And He calls it a crown of glory. So it's something that's attractive and beautiful that He wants others to see. He wants to deliver us safely. And that crown of glory is talked about in Isaiah chapter 28. Let's turn over there just for a moment. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. And verse number 5, Isaiah chapter 28, and verse number 5, the Bible says, "And in that day the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty under the residue of His people." So God wants us to be blessed with this crown. This crown of what? A crown of beauty. He wants it to be a diadem or something that is a great attraction for other people so that people can see it. And yet when we get to heaven, we get to have the privilege of taking those crowns that He gives us and casting them at His feet in a way of saying, "Thank You, I love You for the way You've taken care of me and what blessings You've given to me." Not everybody gets an award. We live in a day where if you say hello, you get an award for it. And if you're playing the sports, you get an award whether you're good or not good. But when we get to heaven, that's not how God's awards are given. He will give crowns. One of the crowns is the crown of glory. He'll give those crowns out for those who have served Him the best they could in their life. He's not asking you to serve Him like Paul served Him. He's not asking you to serve Him like Peter served Him. He's not asking you to serve Him like Moses served Him. He's asking you and I to serve Him as we can serve Him. He never expects us to live like somebody else. He expects us to live our life to the fullest for His glory and for His glory and for His honor in our life. And He'll give us joy unspeakable. He'll take care of us. Can I tell you why many Christians are discouraged and depressed? Because they're living for their own glory instead of His glory. We're trying to get crowns for ourselves that we can consume in this world rather than live for Him, that He might give us crowns for the work that we've done for Him. Isaiah chapter 62 also. Isaiah chapter 62 talks about this same crown. In Isaiah chapter 62, in verses 2 and 3, it says, "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, with the mouth of the Lord shall be named, and thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God." That's what God has planned for those of us who get that crown. It's to glorify Him in heaven. What an honor it will be to get an award in heaven for the work we've done here on this earth for Him, for His honor and His glory. I'm going to say this, and probably, I know I'm taping this to put it on the internet, and it may make people mad when they hear it, but that's okay. We live in a day and age where everybody wants to live for themselves. Nobody wants to live for anybody else. It's always me, 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 I come first. But really, that's not the way it is with God. It never has been. When I first started preaching over 35 years ago, it was different. When I got in 1977, it was different than it is today. We learned as young Christians, as I grew in the knowledge of the truth, I learned some things. I learned I'm supposed to live for others, not for myself. Jesus, others, and yourself. That's the joy we used to have when I was a kid. When I was a young Christian, not a kid, just an adult. I learned joy. Jesus, others, and yourself. If that's the order that God wants us to have our life in. But today, that's not the order. Today, it's yourself. After that, yourself. And after that, yourself again. And when it all comes down to the end, it's still yourself. But that's not where joy comes from. Joy comes from serving God and giving our life to Him in such a way that glorifies His name. So He wants to give us a crown. How? He says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings." Verse 9. "And she shall give thine head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory, and she shall deliver thee." So God wants us to have that by embracing wisdom and understanding. Now look at verse number 11, number 10. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." So God's telling us that as we embrace and grow together with wisdom and understanding, our life will become longer and that we'll do more for Him. I'm glad that at the age of 21 I got saved. And now at the age of 56, I'm still serving. But for the first 21 years, I lived for myself completely. And it still seems like I owe God an awful lot. So I want my years to be used for His glory and His honor. And if He gives me more years, the more years He gives me, the more I can do for Him. And if my years get cut short, at least I'll have given him as many years as I could since that year at the age of 21. He says that when we teach these to our children and when he teaches them to us, our life will grow in length of days. Verse 11, I have taught thee the way of wisdom and I have led thee in the right paths. Notice there's a path to go down as a Christian. We don't automatically walk down the right path just because we got saved. Now, there is a philosophy that teaches that in this world today. Oh, you get saved, you'll never sin again, you'll never have any problems, you'll automatically walk down the right path. And if you don't have the right feeling in your heart, then you really didn't get saved. But the truth is that every day everything changes. You can start the day happy and end the day sad. You can start the day excited and end the day mad. So it's not a matter of how we feel. Salvation's never been based on our feelings or emotions. It's always been based upon what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. And God's telling us in verse number 11 that He's taught us to lead us in the right paths. What will keep us in that right path? Wisdom and understanding will keep us walking in the right path. When we understand how God looks at things and we accept it, boy, what a statement that is, just accepting it. That's what understanding is. It'll change everything in the way we go. Our steps will become very important. Look, in verse 12, when thou goest thy steps, God wants to lead us one step at a time. Don't you wish God would tell you in advance everything that's going to happen so you could take care of it like you want to, so you know what's coming? But God says, no, I want to take you one step at a time. A step isn't a day. Lord, tell me today what you want me to do. No, a step is one step of that day. And He wants to lead us one step at a time. He wants to lead us down the right paths by us following wisdom and understanding, embracing it, becoming one with it, living by it, and accepting it. Our steps get messed up when we don't do that. Our steps get messed up when we won't do that. We're not going to teeter or totter or stumble or fall, He tells us in verse number 12. Why? Because we're following His steps. We're following His direction. Look in verse number 13. Take hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. What's the word instruction mean? That was one of the first words we learned early on. Instruction means this. It comes from a word in the Greek which really means chastisement. That's what instruction means. Or reproof. That means to restrain, reproof, rebuke, or warn us. Or here's what it really means. An authoritative direction to be obeyed. An authoritative direction to be obeyed. That's what instruction is. So when you go to school, they're giving you an authoritative direction that needs to be obeyed. Here's a good one. Are you ready? 1 + 1 = 2. 2 - 5 is a negative number. Of the negative number 3, and that's how politicians add up finances. But that's not the proper way. And that's why we're messed up when it comes to finances that way. So what do we need to do? We need to get instruction. The authorized direction to be obeyed. So we need to follow the authorized direction that God gives you and I. And where do we get that from? How do we get that instruction? By wisdom and understanding. That gives us the instruction we need. Hold fast to instruction. That designated authoritative way that God has given you and I to go. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Hold it fast. When my kids were little, I used to pick them up and we'd twirl in circles, you know. I'd pick them up and we'd start to go around and the faster I'd go, the tighter they would hold on. They were holding fast. No matter, they didn't want to let go. I don't blame them. I didn't want them to let go. And the tighter I held them, we held fast. One to another. Because it was so important that we hung on. And God says to hang on to instruction in that same form. Whose instruction? His instruction. What's His instruction come from? Wisdom and understanding. Because instruction will change us. She is thy life. Wow, what a statement. So the authoritative direction that God has commanded for us to go, if we'll hang on to that, that's life. That is what our whole life is all about. What are some of those things? You know, like give out the gospel message to other people. Read His Bible every day. Pray. Hide His Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. I talked about that Sunday night. Holding on to God's Word. How do we overcome sin? We overcome sin by the Word of God. hiding it in our heart. Because that's what changes things. We can pray all day long, Lord, please help me not to sin. Lord, please help me not to sin. But that's not the power of God to overcome sin. We learned it on Sunday night. The power to overcome sin is the Word of God. Hiding His Word in our heart, letting it become a part of it. Memorizing it. Like you memorize your telephone number or your social security number or your address or your birth date or the birth date of your children or the birth date of your grandchildren. Those dates that are important you hang on to. Memorize them like you know your wife or your husband's birth date or your anniversary date or the number of years you're married. We know all those things. They're a part of us. And God says that's how the Word of God should be a part of us to overcome sin in our life. What is that instruction? That's where our instruction comes from. So I don't want to follow me. I don't want to follow my opinion. I don't want to follow my will. I want to follow what He teaches me from His Word. That's why it's so important we read it every day. We teach our kids this song. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. And you'll grow. 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 Then we read this. We sing this verse. Don't read your Bible. Forget to pray. Forget to pray. Forget to pray. Don't read your Bible. Forget to pray. And you shrink. 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 And it's true. Because we don't know what direction to go. And that's why many Christians are lost today. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to say. Because we're not in God's Word. We're not praying like we should. We're not memorizing the Word of God like we should. We're not looking at life from God's point of view, understanding it and accepting it, embracing it and using it for the instruction for our life. Preacher, what do I do? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, can I tell you? Read your Bible. Walk in the Word of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How am I going to get that? You're going to get that from your Bible. That's how we get it. That's where the answers to all of our problems and situations in life are. Right there in God's Word. Well, Father, we thank You for what we've learned tonight. And Holy Spirit, I ask that You'd help us to make it understand.